Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is the author of our book of the month for October, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Learn how the conscience is a gift from God and how only through Christ can you receive a clean conscience in Reading Isaiah with Luther, the Issues Etc. book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther.
All right, listen up. We are looking for anything that looks like drugs or paraphernalia.
Philadelphia Police Department, we have a search warrant.
What is that smell?
Man, you gotta see this.
Is this normal?
I don't know. I've never been in an abortion clinic before.
You are not gonna believe what I saw last night.
How many?
So far, we found over 30 of them.
Healthy woman goes into a clinic, comes out dead, and there's no police report.
Files have been moved recently.
Look at this.
You'll be the prosecutor who went after reproductive rights, and you'll be a racist to boot.
You've got a lot of folk who'd like to see abortion outlawed. And this is not going to be the case that gives them an excuse.
Prosecution has offered you a plea bargain, Dr. Gosnell.
And I would have to admit I was guilty. I'm not guilty.
That's an excerpt from the movie Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. Kermit Gosnell's chosen profession would classify him, if we lived in a sane world, as a serial killer alone. He was an abortionist, and he took the act of abortion, of killing an innocent unborn child, to a new depth, to a new gruesome end. And on top of all of that, he was not only killing these children, in the end, he was guilty of also killing some of his patients, or the women he regarded as his patients. The movie is out. Will it change minds on abortion? Joining us to review the movie Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer, Holly Shear, a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled What Gosnell Media Censors Don't Want You to See, is a true crime drama about abortion. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on today.
What can you tell us about the difficulties in getting this movie produced?
The producers decided to fund this project a little bit differently than most movies are funded. Most movies have a couple really big backers, and the Gosnell movie was funded by a lot of small backers. They were funded on a crowdfunding site where individual people are able to come together and fund the project with individual small contributions. And they tried to do this through a really popular site called Kickstarter. And they put the project together. They made it according to Kickstarter's community standards. And when they put the project through, Kickstarter did not put it up according to their normal time frame. And this pushed their deadline back, which is very difficult when you're trying to do a project of this magnitude. And they actually took it all the way up to the top leadership of Kickstarter, and they were unable to resolve these differences. And they had to shift their whole project to a totally different site. They shifted it to a different crowdfunding site called Indiegogo. And once they moved it there, they actually set a crowdfunding record. In less than 2 months, they raised $2.37 million, which is a huge amount of money when you think about individual people putting their funds behind a project that hadn't even been begun to make this movie about Gosnell and his trial and what went on in his clinic.
What makes the movie so controversial? Explain that in simple terms to us.
What makes the movie so controversial, really at its core, are the honest and open depictions of the problems at the heart of the abortion industry. There's so much silence about what actually happens in an abortion procedure. Industries like Planned Parenthood like to present it like abortions are just the removal of these nebulous blobs of tissue instead of murder. And Gosnell's trial really ripped the Band-Aid off that idea. These are babies. These are babies often big enough in Gosnell's clinic to survive on their own. And the testimony in the trial itself, there were clinic workers, and they were talking about how these babies were born in the clinic. They were breathing, they were crying, they were moving their limbs. And when people talk about abortion, they usually like to totally silence that type of reality. They like to present instead that this is not an individual life, that this is not something unique, that this is instead some sort of parasitic life form taking advantage of the mother, inconveniencing her, putting her life in danger. They don't like to talk about, this is a baby here. This is a child. This is that mother's child. When we talk about a movie like this, it really calls all of those ideas into question, and it forces you to examine those ideas and to really look it in the face. And that makes it just controversial right from the beginning.
Were there other roadblocks put in the way while the movie was being made, or in terms of its distribution and things like that?
You know, it would have been really nice if the funding issues were the only roadblocks they ran into. And unfortunately, that wasn't the only problem. After securing funding and after finding actors who were willing to touch the complicated and, you know, politically dangerous for these actor storylines, they also ran into some other problems. Unfortunately, creating a film and finding actors, that's only part of actually producing a movie. You need to also find a distribution company. And when they tried to do that, they ran into issues where distribution companies were not willing to touch this. They would talk to people and they'd be like, this is a well-done movie and we can't touch this. Once they finally found a distribution company, they were sued by the judge who was in the movie for their portrayal of this judge. And they were finally able to come to a settlement that allowed the movie to move forward. It was a really complicated process to bring this movie out. And I think that almost makes it more important to go see it, because when something has so much pushback, when there's so much resistance to getting those ideas out there, it shows you, you know, this is something with a lot of merit behind it.
The story of Gosnell's crimes is one of the most gory, revolting stories that many of us have ever heard. It is on the level of the worst true crime serial killer saga you will ever read. Is the movie itself telling the story, is it graphic?
You know, this was actually a huge concern I had when I received this material. I sat down to watch this, and I did so before there were any actual reviews out. I was going into this without any information to let me know what I was getting into. And I would say this is probably the number one question that I am getting and fielding from people on social media right now about this movie. And I think given the subject matter at hand, it's actually a really valid concern. And I want to reassure people, this movie is not graphic. It is very tastefully done. There is no gore. There are no dead baby pictures. There are no images of babies being born and murdered. None of that is happening. There are no dead mother images. There is courtroom testimony. There is the discussion of the reality of this loss of life. But none of it is salacious. It is pulled directly from real life testimony that happened during the trial. It is very factual. I would put this as like a true crime movie, not a grotesque movie, not a horror movie. It's not a shocker. It's rated PG-13. This is not a rated R movie. And I am incredibly impressed with the way the crew handled this. They handled it so delicately and with class and empathy for all of those involved and the audience. You can really tell that they sat there and they put thought into this, knowing that people would be distressed by the subject matter, and finding that line of like, what is appropriate that still gets across the message that needs to be told.
Does the movie help the viewer understand the legal issues surrounding Gosnell's crimes?
You know what? I would say yes. It's one thing to sit there and read this, and it's another to see it woven together in a really researched movie like this. You know, I think I have read probably almost every article that has been written about him, and in the course of that, I've talked to many of the reporters who've written those articles, and seeing the investigation on screen and seeing at the end of the movie they have real recordings from the history of this, seeing the grand jury and how the prosecution put that together, there's something so really touching about that. I'm going to give just a very mild spoiler, and it's nothing that you wouldn't have gotten from any article you've read about this, but there's this really poignant moment where this nurse from the health department is sitting there in the grand jury, and she's being questioned by the ADA, the assistant district attorney for the prosecution, and it's about inspection. how did this happen? And the ADA points out that in 17 years of operation, there were no inspections done. There was one when it initially opened, and then when the raid happened and they went through. None. None in between those two things. 17 years, almost two decades. And this nurse is sitting there, and her whole demeanor is just dismissive. She first tries to say that the health department had received no complaints, and the ADA pulls out and drops in front of her this big stack of actual complaints that had happened. And so then she kind of pivots and she said, well, I didn't want to interfere. We didn't want to interfere with a woman's right to choose. And I mean, really, isn't that what this always comes down to? These arguments don't come down to safety. They don't come down to what's best for. It comes down to choice. And when we talk about and see this, it's so jarring when you hear her argue that. And the prosecution then points out that nail salons, the place you go to get your nails painted and shaped, something very superficial, those are inspected yearly. We have high bar for some place that handles nail polish, that yearly they go in and they make sure that the equipment is sanitary, that is hygienic. Instead of this place performing surgical procedures on women, it's really shocking stuff, and it's all true, and it's all things we need to see and we really need to internalize and understand.
Do you think that the Gosnell movie is likely to change minds on the atrocity of abortion, which abortionists need not go to the lengths, the gruesome lengths that Kermit Gosnell went to still be guilty of the exact same crime, the taking of an innocent human life? Do you think it's going to change minds?
It is my sincere hope so. I actually asked the producer about this when we talked on the phone, and I would like to share with the listeners what he told me about his reaction, that of him and his wife. And here's what he said. He said, I always thought that those pictures were photoshopped. I didn't trust pro-life pictures that I saw. I think what the strong point of this film is that it's based on courtroom testimony. There's no photoshopping. There's no political slogans. There's no grandstanding. Everyone has to tell the truth. And when people hear the truth and research it, they'll be going, oh, I didn't know that. Planned Parenthood has done a great job of sowing mistrust in the pro-life community, of saying, don't trust those people, they're lying. This will show what these abortion people said under oath in court. And part of what he's referencing there is during the trial, they called up this other doctor who performs abortions, and she is the good abortion doctor. And obviously we know there's no good in this case. But what she is doing is she follows the law. She follows the standards. Everything is above board. Everything is inspected. And what's so jarring about this is how closely what she describes, what she does, is what Gosnell does. How what is against the law, what is abhorrent, what is horrible, what is disgusting, is so close to what is being done when it is being done according to best practices. She describes what happens if everything goes wrong and a baby is accidentally born alive. They don't call for help. They provide what's called comfort care, which is just sitting there and letting the baby die. And it is so terrible to think this is what actually happens. And I think it's important for people who consider themselves pro-choice to face and actually think this through. And then he actually told me something that, instead of being, you know, kind of terrible to think about, I think should be encouraging. And here's what he said. He said, it changed us, myself and Anne. That's his wife. We would have described ourselves before this as neutral on abortion. We now realize what that means. Neutral on abortion means pro-abortion. One of the actresses came up to us at a screening recently and said, this changed me from pro-choice to pro-life. It's almost just like that at the trial. Everyone who is in the trial, who was pro-choice at the start, had their faith in abortion shattered. And they became a lot more. I'm not saying they all became pro-life, but they all became very skeptical of the pro-choice position. And I think, if nothing else, my hope is that when people sit and they watch this and they listen to the argumentation, when they see the conditions, that that's what will come out of this, that they will have what he's talking about there, that skepticism toward the abortion position. Why is this happening? Why is this being allowed to happen? Why is this happening on the scale it's happening?
So you say that the movie belies the claim so common, and I think it's actually believed even by people like the people who sit on the fence with respect to abortion or are personally opposed. You say it belies the claim that keeping abortion legal keeps women safe. How is that?
Okay, this is the worst lie. We are fed this terrible spiel that Roe v. Wade keeps women safe. And that's why we need to keep this decision legal, right? Because it keeps abortion in the light of day instead of the back alley, regulated, licensed, inspected. Well, you know, Gosnell happened with a medical doctor, an MD, in a legal clinic. For decades, he operated in the bounds of a community's legal structure, and everyone turned their back. They turned away. They let this happen. Mothers died. Babies born alive died with scissors taken to their neck. Terrible things happened legally in the light of day. Roe v. Wade did not protect these people. Having this legal is not protecting anyone. It is a lie. We will never have an exact number of how many people died in this clinic. And that is something that should really kind of keep everyone awake at night. This didn't keep mothers safe. This is an awful lie. These mothers suffered, and they suffered in filthy conditions, all in the name of choice. And their babies suffered, too.
Why would you say this movie, it's certainly going to be popular with pro-lifers, and we probably need to acknowledge, given the roadblocks that it's encountered, it'll be a niche movie, but one that may become a standard among pro-lifers. But why is this movie not only for those who want to protect life from beginning to end?
I think we need people who are convinced to see this too. I'm hoping that people who are interested in crime movies and serial killer movies and all of that are going to take, you know, a chance and go see this, because we need those unconvinced people to see this. We need them to sit down and we need them to realize what is happening under the noses of so many people, under the noses of health departments. We need to see, have them look in the faces of the mothers in this movie and see that desperation. We need them to see what choice actually means. We need to see that, you know, we're not talking about blobs of cells here, formless and worthless. We're talking about lives. We're talking about human lives, children, mothers. We're talking about people. These are sisters and daughters and brothers. And this is so many people who should be here and not. We really need these people to sit there and actually have, you know, this cognitive dissonance that has gone on far too long in our society. And I really hope this movie helps do that.
Finally, I do have one curious question. I've heard people talk about how Gosnell himself is portrayed in the movie. And of course, we've heard from media reports Gosnell is in a kind of semi-delusional state, even in imprisonment. But what was your impression of how the man who committed these literally countless, we will not be able to count how many crimes, even if they're not recognized by the laws we have today, how is he portrayed?
It is really surreal, every scene where he is, because he can sit there, you know, while they're discussing the thousands of lives lost with a smile on his face. There's this part from where the police are investigating him, and this is something that actually happened, and you would think that this is too bizarre to really happen, but it did. They are going through his home and bringing out evidence, and instead of being concerned at what they're finding, he sits down to his piano and he starts playing classical music. He's so unconcerned about what he has done. He's so convinced in his own mind that he has done nothing wrong, that he's done things that are proper and defensible and right, that he smiles, that he makes jokes. It's off-putting. It's terribly disturbing. I'm very convinced that he is not a normal person in this regard. Everything you read about him, everything you hear from people who've actually met him and talked to him, is that this is not a person who in any way feels the seriousness of what he's done. He talks about treating each of his patients, and these are people, keep in mind, that he's treating with expired medication, with equipment that is not sterilized, single-use instruments used multiple times, covered in rust, with resuscitation equipment that no longer works. that he's treating each of these women as if they were his own daughter. It really is beyond understanding, beyond belief, made worse by the fact it's reality.
Holly Shear is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled What Gosnell Media Censors Don't Want You to See is a True Crime Drama About Abortion. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
The Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community by offering LCMS members reduced rates on car, student mortgage, and home improvement loans. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union, good for you, good for the church, LutheranFCU.org. When we come back, Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He has a full boat of sound bites to play for us from Daniel Zelli. I guess Daniel Zelli, who is an apostolic leader, has rejected the idea that sinners are saved by grace. We'll hear it from himself and then get Chris's response on the other side of the break. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Can you remain a Christian if you stay away from church on Sunday mornings? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Why Do You Go to Church? We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Mark Seifried writes about his journey from being a Baptist seminary professor to becoming a Lutheran seminary professor. It's the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University, Wisconsin is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During October, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia University, Wisconsin. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.